left him behind in a cult with no members. One middle-aged man seeks to relive the past. This is Retro Cult.
This is Retro Cult, and I'm Justin Perkins, and thank you very much for being here. We're trying something new tonight, and I don't know if this is going to work out, but there will be video with the audio portion of this on Spotify, because they've got a new thing where you can upload, and I don't know. So we're just going to put some video up just for the heck of it and see what we can do. Before I get into anything else, I will say I've done Talk Junkie, I don't know how long, and I probably should. The reason why is because there was a lot of starts and stops there at the beginning. I want to say it was, well, I know that it was 2019 when I done the first The Stuff I Like podcast, which I ended up just converting over to Talk Junkie. Now, I don't know exactly how long it was before I started to do the Talk Junkie stuff. And actually, the very first episode of Talk Junkie, which is the Four Horsemen, the other Four Horsemen episode, was done as part of that initial The Things I Like. I kind of went from that to the other Four Horsemen. There's going to be two podcasts like I have now. But anyway, I've been doing Talk Junkie for a long time. Talk Junkie built up a really big following, and then it kind of slacked off a little bit due to me skimping out and not doing enough episodes and things like that. Whereas Retro Cult is very new and not been around a long time. Not really long at all, especially considering the big hiatus I took probably during the best months to do a podcast, the winter, and I wasn't doing them. I was off. But Retro Cult's very new, and I mention that all the time. And obviously the listenership has went down with Talk Junkie, but it's always been higher on Talk Junkie than it has on Retro Cult. Something happened in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. The last episode of Retro Cult, along with two other episodes, there's only like 10, 11 episodes of Retro Cult. I think it's maybe 11. I'll have to look. I should look beforehand so I can say stuff like that throughout, but I don't know. But having said that, it's right around 10, whereas there's 160. So like I'm closing in on my 200th episode with Talk Junkie. Of the last three of the last 10 episodes, or the only 10 episodes for Retro Cult, have outperformed Talk Junkie. Now, obviously what has happened is the last episode or the episode before that, because both of those have outperformed the last two Talk Junkie episodes. But obviously one of those took fire a little bit. Nothing huge, because my numbers aren't huge for either one. They used to be really good for Talk Junkie, and they're not anymore. Like I'm transparent about stuff like that. But I don't really do it for that. I do it because it's fun, and the three people that listen. But for a long time, most of the Retro Cult podcasts were in single-digit downloads. I'm talking single digits. And then I came back. When I came back, we finally broke double digits on most of them, but not all. All of them are in double digits now. All of them are substantially higher than they were. And that's happened in the last probably 2 weeks. But in the last week and a half, three of those, which obviously we've gained new listeners and they've went back and listened to other episodes, is what's happened. So now I've had three really good episodes of Retro Cult that have performed really well. And I've also had two episodes of Talk Junkie not do so well. So go back over and reshare that love. But I really want to thank you guys, because that's awesome. And I'm really happy that happened. And I don't know, I'm tickled. It makes me happy that I was able to do that. Because this show's really fun to do, and which Talk Junkie's really fun to do, too. But, you know, I've been asking, should I make it? And a friend of mine whose opinion I respect a lot, you know, me and him were talking this week, and he had went from the, no, you need to keep them separate, to, yeah, maybe you do need to consolidate them. And, you know, I was right on the verge of doing that. And it's just fortuitous that I happen to look at numbers, which I hardly ever do anymore because they're not really good anymore for either show. But I just happened to look. And I don't know. I looked, and I'm glad I did look, and it's cool. I'm definitely satisfied with the outcome. That tickles me to death. And keep it coming, and I'll keep it coming. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool that I've been able to do that, and it's cool that you guys helped me do that. And I didn't look at emails before I come on. Let's have a contest. Obviously, there's new people listening. Everyone that listens, no matter if we're best friends, we talk every day, no matter if you don't know me at all, no matter if you're the most casual listener, everybody that listens, send in an email in the next week or two, and I will do an email episode. Because to be honest with you, there's just not really any mail for Retro Cult. It's not like Talk Junkie. But I also don't say things that apparently make everybody mad on Retro Cult like I do on Talk Junkie. And I don't know how they get mad on Talk Junkie, because it's not like I'm that controversial. I'm not the Howard Stern of Eastern Kentucky or anything. It's ridiculous. I don't get it. But some people just like to be that way. I don't like the way the camera's looking. Let's move the camera. Let's play some sax music while I move the camera. I think that's better. Like, I felt like I was looking, and it may not be a whole lot different, but I felt like I was looking up, down, sideways, whatever. Next week, maybe I'll try to get in the other shelves behind me because they're cooler. You know, maybe I can just do things where I get different stuff behind me all the time. That'd be pretty cool. Or maybe not. Maybe you don't give a crap. Maybe we don't do the video every time. I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to try this. Probably not going to upload it to YouTube. I don't get any hits on YouTube, and I don't think that it benefits my show any to really put it on YouTube. So I'm going to try this thing where I can upload the video, if that works, onto Spotify. So you'll get if you're listening on iTunes, it's just your regular episode. You could be listening to just the regular episode on Spotify, or you could be on Spotify in the video. And if the video works, it'd be cool for my son because he can go on the Fire Stick, go on Spotify, and Dad will be on TV. Actually, it will not impress him at all. I don't think anything I do impress him. I think I'm his best friend, and he thinks I'm cool in that regard. But nothing else I do impresses him at all, anyway, shape, or form. Now, I got some stuff to plug, and then I got some businesses to plug. So maybe let's just do our plug thing and then get that over with.
After these messages, we'll be right back. After these messages, we'll be right back.
Okay, first I'll do the messages. Red Spotted Newt, Hazard, Kentucky. READ, Red Spotted Newt. It's the best bookstore, period. They do sell online. She will ship to you. You're supporting a great local business. You're supporting a great local economy. All around, just it's the right thing to do. So, my books, Creating a Perfect Slave, Cocaine, it was doing just like me, and we're superior with my son. I believe all those are still there. If they're not, she can let me know, and I'll get them for you. And, shoot, if you're ordering from Red Spot Meat, and give me an answer, order my book, I will devalue it by signing it for you. Now, that's the best I can do. It doesn't make it worth it, it's not worth it anyway. But, some point in July, mid-July, or whatever, so unless I could give you a definite, I can't. My book, it'll be done by mid-July. It was selected for a summer reading program at a college, and they're going to use it at that college. It's been on for me, and we selected for that in the past, and it got selected before it was completely published, but they have seen it, and they've seen the first rough copies of it, and they're satisfied with it, and they're really open to them, so I've got to get it out by mid-July, but the book will be Voices from the Rabbit Hole, and it will be available at Red Spot Newt in Hazard, Kentucky first. That's it, the only place you can do it. Now, once I do release it there, and I don't know that it'll be with her, I've not talked to her. She has always got real authors in there and doing new things, so I may not get to do it there, but somewhere in Eastern Kentucky, somehow I do want to do a release event. I don't know that that will be right around. I said release event. I'm going to do an event. I don't know if it will be right around the release of my book, because hopefully by my birthday in August, I will be releasing a hardback version of all three poetry books plus some unreleased material all in one. That's not indefinite, and that's still definitely in the works. But hopefully that's coming up. Kicking Chicken Apparel. If you want a shirt made, and you want a cheap shirt made, you want a good shirt, good quality, and you want it made, check out Kicking Chicken. They're great. They'll get me a deal, some shirts from my band, and some shirts from the shows, and they're great. And I've got some more stuff, but I'm going to save it for the end, so we'll get back to actually doing the episode, not killing with ad stuff.
It's showtime. Speedy hits 88 miles per hour. You're going to see some serious shit.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
It's in the hole! It's in the hole! What is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of the women.
Okay, what am I going to do? I've been thinking about that, and one of my favorite topics outside of the Matrix is time travel. And if we could time travel, where would we time travel to? Where would we time travel to? What would we do in regard to retro stuff and what's going on? So tonight, I'm going to take you on a trip. I want you to go back with me. Where are they? I think I can sing it anyway. Go back. I can't actually sing it. I believe me, if I can sing it anyway. Hello, everyone. I don't want to go back. I'm going to go back. In time. I'm going to take it far away. Not really far away. Look at it like this. This is what we're going to do tonight. And I don't know how the visuals may work on this, because I'm looking at my screen in front of me, or the screen that's to the left of me. You're looking at me, so I'm not looking at me, Dylan. And so, bear with me if you're watching the video version. If we're going to go back in time, we've got to have a reason to go back in time. Like, I mean, you know, the whole go back and kill Hitler stuff, and all this more of a talk junkie thing. We're not going to worry about such things tonight. Tonight, we're going to think about if we can go back in time for purely entertainment reasons, for purely retro entertainment reasons. And obviously, I talk a crap ton about movies on here. It's one of my favorite topics, and so I think rightfully so, we should talk about if we want to go back in time for movies. When will we go back in time? Well, really, that's a counterproductive argument, because technically the world goes far forward as possible, because movies are not readily available. I have read now on the Blu-ray, DVD, something that wasn't available for a long time. Like, I bought a copy of a video store here in the county I live in, the video store in the mountains, and that video copy blew out for me. I had nothing. But now I couldn't go back and watch it, and it was like they were finding it online. Obviously now you can find it online, you can do all those things. I've got a water movie somewhere, but you know, all that is possible now, and that's cool. I put the water in this cup, because if you don't put the water in the cup and you drink the water right in there, you get that the whole time. And that's not as seductive as the saxophone, but you know, nowadays everything's at the tip of your fingers. You can get anything, anytime, anywhere, any, you know, whatever you want. But it's not always been that way. So if I were going to go back, it would have to be for something specific. So what I was thinking was, let me go back to the best year of film. You know, was it the year Citizen Kane was released? Was it the year, you know, Titanic was released? No, it was, 'cause Titanic's a horrible movie. The people that like it, you're sheep. It's a horrible movie. It's an absolutely horrible movie. I like, if you look on my wall over here on my shelf. You go back and look at the videos and stuff I put online, you'll see Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, True Romance, all back to back to back. I still don't like Hateful Eight because it's not a good movie, because I'm not a sheep. Now I don't have to go look at it and go, man, that's as good as the rest of his movies. No, I don't. I don't have to. Was it Cameron that made Titanic? I don't have to look at Titanic and go, oh, man, that's as good as the rest of his movies. No, it's not. It's not a good movie. You should have pushed that skank off the board because there was room for both of them, and that's ridiculous. Nobody wants to watch two VHSs of crap. If I'm going to watch a two VHS set, it's going to be the Sacketts, which I have new unopened on VHS. I should show that sometime. I'm a big Western fan. I don't think a lot of people know that. But if I was going to go back, like, I didn't know off the top of my head what year I would have. So I had to do a lot of research. So I went through, and I'll tell you the year that keeps popping up is 1984. Now, there were other years I found really competitive. And 1984 may not be the best year for me, per se, as a whole, but there's movies I just could not ignore in 1984. So I find all these different ones. I did find a Screen Rant done 10 Reasons Why 1984 was the greatest year in film. Before we go through everything that's in 1984, I'm going to give you their 10 reasons why. Number 10, Ghostbusters and Gremlins premiered on the same day. Obviously, that should be number one. So Screen Rant apparently put this upside down. I've not looked at this. After doing my research, I found this, and I was like, don't go through the list. Go through it live during the show. So I thought that'd be more fun. Ghostbusters and Gremlins premiere on the same day as their number 10. June 8th, 1984, Ghostbusters and Gremlins both premiered. That, to me, gives me reason. A great Christmas movie in Gremlins. One of my favorite Bill Murray movies of all time in Ghostbusters. And just a great movie overall, not just because of Bill Murray. That's an excellent movie all the way around. In my opinion, one of the best movies ever. Excuse me. So their number 10 to me may be the strongest, but I mean, I'll give them a chance to make up for it. Number 9, Terminator franchise arrives. Very good. Not better than the Ghostbusters and Gremlins on the same day. But it's not here for me to critique. This is here for me to give you the information. And that is a very good reason why 1984 could be the most important year in film, or the best year in film, I guess. Terminator made $78 million more. See, that's James Cameron. If he made, and I'm not sure that he did, because I don't have any interest in Titanic. I don't even know. Titanic sucks. If James Cameron made Titanic, I'm going back to the best year of James Cameron. I'm going to tell you right now, Terminator's right up there. Right up there. Number 8, John Hughes made his directorial debut. Again, not as good as Ghostbusters, but how pivotal was how pivotal was John Hughes in regards to 80s film, especially with the Brat Pack and all that? Now, prior to landing in the director's chair, John Hughes had made his name with the successful comedies National Lampoon's Vacation and Mr. Mom. It was his directorial efforts, however, that solidified his status as a filmmaking icon. 16 Candles is what he launched with. And look, I could sit here and play cool guy and be like, yeah, I watched some John Rambo, but I don't watch no John Hughes. I love John Rambo, but I love me some John Hughes, too. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a young man, as a young child, because I was very young when this came out, too young to have watched it, but I obviously watched it later. You know, 6-7 years old, 16 Candles was cool. 15, 16 years old, okay, maybe I thought it was a little passe. But at 39, going on 40, I can tell you, 16 Candles is still cool, and I still like it. And, I mean, John Hughes went on to knock out. Like, if you look behind me back here, we've got 16 Candles right there. I see, I'll grab it here. Because, see, if you're not doing the video, you're not getting the full effect. Everybody doing audio, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Hang out while I get this VHS. Okay, so here we have 16 Candles, John Hughes' directorial debut it's the time of your life that may last a lifetime. And if you've watched the videos, you know, we've got the Breakfast Club poster over on the wall behind Ryder's Nickelodeon wall. But again, a very pivotal part of 1984. Number seven, The Karate Kid, Crane Kicks the Box Office. Okay, get ready. Get ready for a very controversial take. I'm going to mute my mic, grab my Beetlejuice cup. I'm going to take a sip of water because this is going to take a minute. Karate Kid's overrated. Hear me out. I mean, don't get me wrong. If we turn back to the wall of VHS, it's not there. But that's because this is just one wall. It's actually over there on the big wall. If you go back and look at the videos. Anyway, LaRusso, bad guy, horrible person, should have been beaten by Johnny because he cheated. It's clear that he cheated. He's whiny. He cries. His foreman style is awful. And he's whiny and he cries. And he doesn't help his mom out enough. And like, I'll say she stands him. So many better martial arts movies in the 80s. Don't even, I watched it like, I really liked it when I was younger. But as I get older, I don't like it. And I've never watched the Cobra Kai series because of that. Because I'm not a Karate Kid fan. I don't know. It's just me. Oh, dear God, I hit it. Number six, and again, this, I'm assuming this is not in order. Because to me, this would be up on the list. But I can't believe that they ranked this higher than like 16 Candles. But Comedy is King, and it's got a picture of Revenge of the Nerds. I love Revenge of the Nerds. I do. It's an excellent movie. I like it. But apparently, 84 was a huge comedy year, and comedy was king in 84. Not only did you get Ghostbusters, but you also got Beverly Hills Cop, which you will notice is, man, I suck at where my movies are. Yeah, it's on the other wall, too. It's real valuable for me to have all this video content now. But you had Beverly Hills Cop, Ghostbusters, Revenge of the Nerds, Splash, Police Academy, Bachelor Party, and Johnny Dangerously. Johnny Dangerously, something I seen much later, and I don't know how it skipped me, but Johnny Dangerously is a good parody movie, and that's hard to do sometimes. Obviously, you know, Naked Gun and things like that, Airplane, they can do it, but a lot of people can't. A lot of people do it very poorly. Johnny Dangerously was done very well, and I like it. Bachelor Parties, eh, you know, they call it a cult classic. It is what it is. Police Academy, Revenge of the Nerds, and Beverly Hills Cop, three of my favorite comedies of all time, all released in 1984. You know, I mean, I don't know. And how many Police Academies and Revenge of the Nerds did they go on to do? Number five on their list, say Horrors in its heyday. The Exorcist, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Black Christmas, Halloween, Friday the 13th, and 80. 84 saw another high point in the history of horror with Wes Craven's masterpiece, A Nightmare on Elm Street, releasing that year. Obviously, those first movies I said didn't release on that year. So I was having to read and go through, but Nightmare on Elm Street did. I'm not a horror guy. I leave that for Bolan Cox. He watches horror out on the trail, and one of the most knowledgeable people in regards to horror I've ever known. And a friend of ours, Brad, who's no longer with us, very, very knowledgeable on all movies, but horror as well. I've never got into horror. I don't, it doesn't do it for me. Having said that, Friday the 13th, you know, didn't exactly get me pumped back in the day, but Nightmare on Elm Street did, especially Dream Warriors. That's so cliche here, but it was Dream Warriors. This is the best. That's the best in the franchise. It's just Dream Warriors. It's so excellently done. And I don't know. I just like it. I thought it was a cool concept. I liked it. I'm not going to get all, righteous on you and why it's the greatest. But I thought the first one was really good as well. Like, I didn't, I don't like horror, and I like Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't know. Prince was in a movie in 1984. Purple Rain is what I'm seeing here, I'm assuming. It's telling me some stuff here that I'm reading and I'm not paying any attention to, but I did not know that was 1984. Number three on their list is Eddie Murphy Rules. Not only with his Saturday Night Live, between Saturday Night Live and all that, but he'd done 48 Hours in Trading Places, and then in 1984 he gets a lead role in Beverly Hills Cop. I went back and rewatched the Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2. I didn't watch 3. Not for any particular reason. I've had people tell me it's not good, and I really don't remember. I know this 1 and 2 are really good, and I really, really like them. And they're movies that I can go back and they're rewatchable. Some movies do get extremely dated, like they're not as good or they're corny when you go back, or you just watch them for nostalgia reasons. To me, Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2 are really good. Like 48 Hours, 48 Hours is pretty good. Another 48 Hours seems maybe somewhat, dated to me. I don't know, something about it didn't seem to hold up as well. But, there's movies like, I think the Lethal Weapons hold up. Because that's my deal. Action is my thing. I really like action. And I, when it can do comedy and do it right, I like that. So I think those really held up and held up well. And if you go on my wall, I've got Eddie Murphy Raw, his stand-up, Delirious, that stand-up. I've got Beverly Hills Cop, 48 Hours. I really like Eddie Murphy as an actor. I love Eddie Murphy as a stand-up. I wish Eddie Murphy would come back and do stand-up. And I've heard rumors back and forth that he may or he may not. I think Eddie Murphy is a great, great stand-up. Number two on their list is At the Height of the Cold War. Hysteria came a movie about Soviet and Cuban forces invading a small town in Colorado. The movie was actually filmed in the town of Las Vegas, New Mexico, part of a larger and unseen start of World War III. A young band of teenagers from the town who named themselves the Wolverines form a resistance against the Soviet forces. I didn't think this movie was horrible. I don't think I felt like this movie was as great as everybody else felt like it was at the time. I think I enjoyed the movie more in later years, because I watched this movie, obviously not in 1984, but pretty early on, because I've always been an action movie guy and rent action movies. It had a lot of holes in the plots, and which all movies do. But it wasn't bad at any point when I watched it, but it was something that I kind of got into later, actually. And I'm curious now to see what their number one is. Their number one is The Story That Never Ends. Children's Fair in 1984, blah, 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 blah. But you know what that means? In 1984, The Never Ending Story came out. And I have never seen The Never Ending Story. Look, I know I do a retro podcast, but I can't watch everything. And it didn't interest me. It didn't interest me back then. And we'll be honest with you, it don't really interest me right now. It's not my thing. So I'm going back to 1984, and I'm going to the movies. What am I going to watch? Well, maybe I would see A Nightmare on Elm Street, because I like it, and I think it'd be cool to see that in the theater. Obviously, I would probably go watch 16 Candles. Red Dawn's a possibility. Against All Odds, Body Double, The Neverending Story, Once Upon a Time in America, a great film I did not realize was released in 1984, because I'm not big on movie release year dates and things of that nature. But I think they missed a lot of stuff in 1984. The movie 1984 was released in 1984, but I will tell you this, as much as I love the book, as much as Animal Farm, all his books, he's magnificent. The movie's just way too depressing. it's not as depressing for some reason when I read it, but when I watch it, I just cannot sit through it. The Last Starfighter, The Adventures, one of the oddest movies I've ever seen, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. Friday 13th, The Last Chapter, which I don't know that I've seen. Repo Man, Starman, Police Academy. Paris, Texas, which I have seen and did not realize that was. Streets of Fire, Gremlins, Muppets Take Manhattan, Beverly Hills Cop, Romancing the Stone, The Natural, Missing in Action, come out in 1984. I would have to say that just based on the movies we've seen so far, and I'm going through a list now, the most pivotal movies that come out in 1984. If you've ever watched any of my videos on TikTok, anything like that, you've seen my original Missing in Action movie poster from Fugit Cinema in Hazard, Kentucky, after years after they closed down. My big box version, VHS version of Missing in Action and Missing in Action 2. I love Chuck Norris. I love military Chuck Norris. I liked Missing in Action as good as I liked First Blood and First Blood Part 2. Hands down. Like, I mean, it was right there. Toxic Avenger came out that year. Splash come out that year. Top Secret come out that year. Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo, I did not like. Didn't watch. Don't know anything about. I can't say I didn't like it. I didn't like the first one enough to like it. Footloose come out. I've always been a big advocate for Footloose. I think Footloose is a good movie. I like Footloose. And we talked about it on our summer movie episode. Dune come out that year. I liked the new Dune. To be honest with you, I couldn't remember enough about the first Dune to tell you anything really about it. Woman in Red come out. It's a decent movie. I love Dudley Moore. I really like Dudley Moore when he's with Richard Pryor. To me, Dudley Moore and Richard Pryor, you can't beat. Woman in Red was okay. Chud come out, and I know Chud is a huge horror. I've never seen it. I don't know anything about it. It never appealed to me. Children of the Corn, however, did come out that year, and I did see Children of the Corn, and I was very young when I seen it. And very few movies, even when I was young, scared me or freaked me out. Children of the Corn did. Very much so. Some little Amish-looking dudes put them in. I got nothing against Amish people. Never had any issue with them whatsoever. And if you're listening to this and you're Amish, you shouldn't be listening to this. You should damn well be ashamed of yourself because you're breaking every commandment that you believe in. Listen to this filth on the devil's machine. I'm going to go to hell for a podcast on the devil's machine. But having said that, don't take it personally. They just look Amish to me. I don't remember if they were supposed to be or not. Conan the Destroyer come out in 1984. I love Conan. I love both Conan movies. You know, and I've heard the argument, one was really good and one was really bad. I like bad movies 90% of the time. And I don't have a problem with a movie being bad. And if one of the Conan movies was bad, then it was bad. But I still liked it. One of my favorite comedies of all time. And again, I had no idea. I thought this was much later. And I've heard. I got to readjust myself because I'm getting excited for this. I heard there's a possibility for a sequel. And if there is, it probably be, this is the only sequel I'll be more excited about than the Ghostbusters, the third Ghostbusters that come out. And I would be legitimately more excited about this movie coming out. This is Spinal Tap come out in 1980. I'm sorry, I've drunk way too much water. This is Spinal Tap come out in 1984, and I love This is Spinal Tap. It is, again, like I could do a whole show over. Again, it's parody and parody done well. 84 may have been the best year for parody. I don't know. The Karate Kid come out, like I said. Purple Rain come out. The Ewok Adventure come out. I have that on VHS somewhere, I believe, still. I loved Ewok, the cartoon, and I had the little Ewok play set that my neighbor's son outgrew and I got. And I love that, but I don't know. The Terminator came out. Up the Creek came out. I'll tell you a little movie that I believe. Oh, it is. It's right up here, under the video cassette or under the audio cassettes up here. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom come out in 1984. Beach Street, Night of the Comet. I thought it was a pretty entertaining movie. Come out. Amadeus. I've never seen Amadeus. I've read the synopsis for Amadeus. I've heard the song "Rock Me, Amadeus." Rock Me Amadeus seems like a pretty cool song. But despite how cool it seems, I don't know. It's not enough for me to want to watch the movie Amadeus. I don't know. Does it have anything to do? I'm looking at a synopsis of the movie, looking at the pictures. I see guys in white wigs. I don't see Falco anywhere. I'm looking. No, there's no Falco anywhere. But again, I know it's supposed to be great. It just doesn't do anything for me. Burning Red, no clue what it is. There's an anime one I can't pronounce. I don't know what it is. Greystone, I don't know what that is. I mean, it's possible that, because I'm seeing like Cheech and Chong, the Corsican Brothers. Like it tried to not even list that. Like it's giving me a choice movies for you based on what Firestarter come out. What's her name? E.T. Girl, Randy Tom Green, My Bum Is on Your Lips. My Bum Is, but they were on her lips. I don't know. What is her name? Charlie's Angels. I Wish the Spooky Family's Here was here. The girl that's not Cameron Diaz. Anyway, I always thought she was really pretty, but this is when she's very young. She's in Firestarter, obviously. But that's so many big movies. Like Frankenweenie, I didn't know that come out in 84. Is that possibly true? It is. I've never seen that. Did I mention Toxic Avenger? Toxic Avenger come out. That's brings back some serious, was USA Up All Night vibes. Something else brings up some serious USA Up All Night vibes that come out in 1984, according to this, is Hard Bodies, most definitely. But Supergirl, 1984. Me and my grandfather, when I was very, very young, he had a store that was a little bit away from the house. His store had always been right at the house. He bought a new building. He put a big furniture store and had an apartment next door to it. We went and stayed all night at the apartment one night. We got over there. I got to go to the video store. I got to get Superman 1 and 2, and I got Supergirl, and we sat down and watched them all three. I liked Supergirl because I watched it probably 88, 89, and I was really in Superman and really in Supergirl. I thought she was pretty, and I liked it. I thought it was a great movie. Rick Springfield was in Hard to Hold. Never seen it, don't want to, but I'll tell you something that did come out in 1984 that my son adores, and through him, vicariously, I have watched it numerous, numerous times. It's Flash Beagle, Charlie Brown. He was major pumped on It's Flash Beagle, Charlie Brown, when he was younger, like major pumped. I know I'm missing movies, because now that I'm going back and looking at this other list, that just listed the popular, like Making the Grave was 1984. Mickey and Maude was 1984. Space Raiders is horrible, but you need to watch it. It was 1984. Super Ninja was 1984. Definitely one that I watched. Moscow on the Hudson, I've never seen. I don't really know a whole lot about it. One of the worst movies of all time was made in 1984 and released, The Ice Pirates, and definitely worth watching. So just going through those, and I know I've missed movies because there's so many that I know I'm probably overlooking and stuff, but if we're going back in time, and I can't stay on this forever, I mean, you guys are going to have to grow up and let me miss some shit every once in a while. I'm not going to get it all. But if I was going to go back, I'm going to go back and I'm going to go to a movie. I want to go back to a year that I'm going to go back to the movies and watch a movie that year. It's going to be 1984. Like, it's really hard to argue that there's a better year than 1984 for movies. Like, it's really hard. If you're watching the video aspect of this, we're going to actually look through some of these, the dramas, and we're just going to hit the top ones. You know, they've got Karate Kid, The Natural, what we kind of talked about earlier. Same thing in adventure, kind of trying to look, see if we see anything new. Comedies is one I really want to go through. Meatballs Part 2 come out. I mean, obviously, it's not Meatballs 1, just like Cannonball Run Part 2 is not Cannonball Run, but they both did come out in 84. Best Defense with Eddie Murphy. That's probably the only Eddie Murphy movie I've ever seen or never seen. I need to go back and watch it. I know nothing about that. Night Patrol, definite just B-movie, you know, greatness. Oh God, not a movie I liked. I've watched it numerous times again. I like that they have ice pirates in comedies, because I'm going to tell you right now, Ice Pirates was not meant to be a comedy. I don't think. If so, they've done a good job of making it look like they were trying to do it seriously, but failed miserably. Splash, Brother from Another Planet. Actually, a good movie. I like that. Wheels on Meals, I have no idea what that is. And I've never seen it. The Pope of Greenwood Village, Against 16 Candles, Gremlins, Ghostbusters, a lot of this Double Trouble, a lot of the stuff we've already seen. So, you know, it is the year. If you're going back and you're going to the movie theater, you're going to buy your popcorn and your sody pop, and you're going to go to the matinee show with your best gal, 1984 is the time to go. And right now is the time to go do some more messages.
After these messages, we'll be right back. After these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages.
We'll be right back. I'm telling you, I could sing. Everything I could sing. I know I could sing maybe I could do like some Can't Go Back or some Eddie Money, but I really think I could do some Michael McDonald, some Keep Forgetting. I keep forgetting, not in love anymore. I think I could do that. I mean, I think that's probably what I'm going to quit. But if you want to listen to a band that I'm actually in where I don't sing because we're smarter than that, you can go to Facebook and PREBISE, Previse. I'm going to do a TikTok explaining that name, how to say it, what it means, why we picked it, all that. And you can go to Previse Band on TikTok. You can go to, I think it's Previse or Previse Band on YouTube, Facebook, and in my Instagram, Author J Perkins on Instagram. I post stuff about them there. So you need to go check them out. At the end of this, I might play a video. We've got a video, if I can dig it up. I might play a video just for the video element of this, and it's kind of a little teaser trailer we got for the upcoming album. So check that out. But you know where I'd like to sell my first album if I was going to sell it? Roundabout Music in Whitesburg, Kentucky. And you can find them on Facebook. You can find them on Instagram. They are a locally owned independent record store, and that's awesome, especially in 2022. And they would ship anywhere. Anywhere in the world, I guarantee it, if you just asked them, they'd ship. I don't get paid to promote them. I promote them because I like them. Now, one of these days, somebody's going to pay me to promote them. And when they do, I'll tell you I'm getting paid to promote them. But right now is not that point in time. So let's get back to music. I had to think about this. And you got to break down music. If you're going to go back, you got to break down music into different levels. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to do it tonight, but I'm going to tell you all the levels. I'm not going to do them all tonight. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what we get to, because I don't want to make this super duper long. You guys have been punished enough. But who do you want to go back and see? What point was radio the best? You know, MTV. When do you want to go back and watch MTV? Like, there's a lot of different things. Now, again, in who do you want to see? Like, everybody, you know, if you listen to Talk Junkie, I just done the Deftones episode. Like, obviously, I want to see the Deftones. So I'm going to take modern bands out of that. Who would I like to go see if, you know, I could? Like, it's hard. Like, I am a big Hendrix fan, and obviously, I was never alive to see Hendrix. I was a Cream fan. I would like to have seen Cream. It's hard to narrow that down. That aspect is really, really hard. And because the modern bands that I like, I've seen for the most part. Like, I really have. Slayer, I never saw. I don't know if I'm man enough for a Slayer, tough enough, masculine enough for a Slayer concert. My papa always said he was born pretty, not tough. And I would say, I mean, in the right light, you know, for enough money, I'm pretty. And I'm definitely not tough. So I don't know that I could make it to a Slayer concert. So thinking about this, who do I want to see? And I mean, you know, there's a lot of options. There's a crap ton of options. And I could narrow it down to two. And I mean, this is going through, you know, old school Metallica, because I really, like, I've seen Metallica, but I'd really like to see old school Metallica. I'm talking Burton, Mustaine, Hetfield, you know, Lars has to be there. He's playing it on. But, like, I would like to see that, but, like, really weigh in on this, because this one I had to think about forever. And, I mean, I could sit and give you, like, it's hard for me to even say the two, because I want to sit and defend why I didn't pick all these others. Because there's so many, like, there's a point in time that Tom Petty is dead top of that list. There's a point in time when Cream is dead top of that list. Like, I sit and go through all of these. Like, it's so hard for me to sit and not feel like I need to defend every choice, but it's this simple. I could not get it to one, but I could get it to two. Jimi Hendrix with A Band of Gypsies, not The Experience. Jimi Hendrix with Buddy Miles and The Experience. That or Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon tour, Pink Floyd. That, if I'm going back, if I'm traveling back in time to see a show, it's one of those two shows. And I mean, Stevie Ray, I feel like I have to defend those things, but I can't. I don't have that kind of time. That's it. That's who it is. Let it go. Breathe it in. Suck it up, buttercup. Deal with it. But if you disagree with who it should be, send it to me. Let me know. You know? Because I mean, there's a lot. There's so many that I wanted to pick. Like, but tell me, who is it for you? Like, for you, who is that definitive? If I'm going back to see a concert, this, and if you know the concert, like, you know the year, you know who. I've seen ZZ Top, so like, I'm not gonna go back. I've seen Korn. I'm not gonna go back and say Korn. Seen Metallica. Seen Deftones twice. I mean, there's bands I've not seen that I want to see, but there's Tool. Like, I really want to see Tool, but I've seen A Perfect Circle, and just that album, Dark Side of the Moon, it's like I have a hard time expressing it. It's so perfect to me in its completion. Like, I'd like to see that performed live. I've seen it performed live. Dustin Hoover, a buddy of mine, I think this was on Talk Junkie, this episode, the music episode that Hoover was on. But he sung and played a couple songs with the band that did the band. This band did the entire album. It's called Dark Side of the River, and it ended up in Prestonsburg, Kentucky. They did the entire album. I mean, every sound effect, everything added in. It was really good. And Hoover come in and sung a couple songs. He sung Money. I don't remember what else, but yeah, like, it was really good, and I enjoyed it. But I'd like seeing Pink Floyd do that, and all of Pink Floyd collectively together at that time do that. Hendrix is just one of my favorite musicians of all time. And I know that's cliche. People say, you just like Hendrix because it's a cool thing to do. The cool thing to do is like Hendrix. You know, that's everybody's answer. That's so generic. You're so generic. What about Steve Vai in Russia playing left-handed behind his back with one eye closed, standing on one leg, playing octaves up to 14 time billions of octaves above everybody? I don't give a shit. I like Jimi Hendrix. You don't have to be the best guitar player of all time. I don't need you to tell me he's the best guitar player of all time. It's not just the guitar playing. It's the lyrics. It's the vocal. It's everything. And everybody goes, oh, Jimi Hendrix is not a good singer. Robert Plant was a much better singer. And you let Robert Plant keep stealing his songs from whoever it is he's stealing them from this week. I don't care. I like Hendrix's voice. I like Jimi Hendrix. I love Hendrix playing and Buddy singing. That's why I like Band of Gypsies. So I would go with that. Now, I'm going to cheat on this next one, and I'm going to do two. What's the best time to go back and watch strictly music videos the whole day of MTV? At what point in time is MTV the best throughout the whole day? That's easy. I can go from, let's say, 85 to 90. Easy. I mean, it's good. They've got tons of videos. They're playing them. They're good videos. I'm gonna get to see some Peter Gabriel. I'm gonna get to see some Guns N' Roses. I'm gonna get to see some new wave. I'm gonna get to see some rock. I'm gonna get to see some just weird stuff. I'm gonna get to see some Michael Jackson stuff. Like, he always made good videos. If he did what he did, I hope he burns in hell and I'll never listen to his music again if they can prove that. But, you know, that's good. But MTV in general, for specifying in general, and this is going to tell my age, I wish everybody knows, you know, I'll talk about it all the time. I said I was 39 earlier, so I mean, stupid. But what it's going to do is, like, very definitely show you what kind of music. I'm a nu metal fan. I'll tell you right now, I love Deftones, Hate to Be Called Nu Metal. And in regards to the camera won't quit shaking because I can't quit putting my leg up. So if you're watching the video version of this, it's not like the whole room's not shaking like that all the time. I keep hitting the stupid table with my leg, and I'm going to keep doing it because I've got ADD and I've got nervous twitch and I can't not move my leg. So shit like that's going to happen. So you're just going to have to deal with it. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, nu metal. Deftones don't like to be identified as nu metal, but Korn is. That first Limp Bizkit, people sitting, I used to make fun of people for listening to Limp Bizkit because I said Fred Durst was a douche, and I think he has been douchey at times. I'm going to tell you right now, I was wrong. The guitar player, one of the guitar players for Technicolor Nightmare, a great local band here, you need to check him out. I don't know this guy personally. We randomly just kind of hooked up on Facebook and talked from time to time. He probably has no clue who I am. And probably definitely doesn't listen to this show, but he got me back into this because I love the first Limp Bizkit album, $3 Bill. I love it from beginning to end. I have no qualms about that. I've never denied that. I love it from beginning to end. I like Significant Other some. I've not listened to most of the other albums. Still haven't listened to 90% of them. I still love Significant Other, and I still love the first album, and I like Dad Vibes and some of the new stuff they're doing right now. And their new tour looks like the funnest tour on the face of the earth right now. And I'd like to see Limp Bizkit. I'd love to right now. I really would. But they were nu metal. You know, there was a lot of these nu metal bands that was big. As a disenfranchised youth, as a life sucks and everything's bad and screw it all. Everything I own is black. And in fairness, everything I own is still black. But, and I now realize that life was excellent and I just tried to make it worse than it was. That does not mean I didn't love that music and I didn't love Korn. I still get, there's still Korn songs that give me chill bumps. I don't like, I know people who listen to this music when they're younger and they're embarrassed of it now. I'm not embarrassed of it at all. Loved it then, love it now. But as that kind of kid growing up, you come home, there's a lot of crap on this show called TRL. And so I lost MTV. I lost it in the afternoons because it was teeny bop time. Even though I was a teenager, I wasn't into teeny bop time. I didn't give a crap. And it wasn't just like, I didn't like Matchbox 20. I didn't like Goo Goo Dolls. I didn't like Third Eye Blind. To be honest, I can't tell them apart 90% of the time. And that's being honest with you. Like, they each have one song that I kind of like. Because I like Gin Blossoms. I'm not sitting here playing Johnny Cool Kid. Like, I like Gin Blossoms. I thought Gin Blossoms was cool because I seen Reality Bites. And I wanted to be hip and awesome. And I liked them. I thought they was a decent band. I just didn't like the other three bands because I thought they sucked. And I couldn't tell the songs apart. And I'm not apologizing for that either. Ooh. About told you to consume a satchel of Richards. And that would not be proper etiquette for Retro Code. I gotta calm down. I gotta slow that roll, son. But it got to a point like I come home, like, I don't see Britney Spears. Like, as pretty as she was, I didn't want to see Britney Spears because I didn't want to listen to her music. Put it on mute and watch it. Same with Christina Aguilera. She needed to eat something badly back in them days, and I didn't really want to watch that. I had no clue the difference between Nick Lachey, whichever dude from the Backstreet Boys, and whichever dude from NSYNC. I couldn't tell you which band was on there. I know each band had the edgy dude. Each band had the pretty dude. Each band had the dude that kind of hid in the back. And each band had the dude that could sing. And NSYNC had the curly-haired guy that just annoyed me to no end, Justin Timberlake, who went on to be the greatest host in the history of SNL. And I completely, bugs get me. He's been good in every movie I've seen that he's been in. Like, I like him. I like his work outside of his music. Music bites. But I like his work outside of that. But, you know, I come home, I don't want to see that. That's not my thing. Like, there's nothing wrong with it being your thing other than it sucks. But it's not my thing. And I don't, you know, especially back then, because back then it's hardcore. It's not your thing. You know, I'm metal. I'm coming, you know, I mean, no LFO. Well, you know. I want some Slayer, you know. And even at this point, like, I'm Rage Against the Machine, Deftones guy. I've moved past all that stuff. Yeah, which I've always been really eclectic. I was listening to all this other stuff at that time. But when there came a point to where I could come home and Korn could easily be the number one song on TRL. Last Resort could be on TRL by Papa Roach. Limp Bizkit could be on TRL. Deftones Changing House of Flies could be on TRL. TRL become really important. Like, for a small moment in time, everything I loved was cool on TRL, but it still wasn't cool everywhere else. My JNCOs were still not cool. My ball chain necklace were still not cool. My wallet chain was still not cool. And my musical taste was still not cool in Eastern Kentucky at Knott County Central in 1999. I was just not cool. I don't think it had anything to do with that stuff. I think I was not cool. That stuff was probably cool. I just didn't help. I brought down the coolness of that stuff, you know? I thought when it hit TRL, I thought, oh, shit, I'm going to be as cool as the other side of the pillow. But I wasn't. I was about as cool as the pillow that your dog drags off the couch and humps when your friends are laughing and watching it from a distance. I didn't get cool. But that would be my second time frame to go back and watch a movie. Now, I tried to think of like some other stuff, like big events you'd like to see and stuff. I would like, you know, if I could go back and see a sporting event. I don't know if it would be Jordan's first championship or Jordan's last championship, but it would be a Bulls championship. I feel like the first one meant more to that team, and I'd like to experience that. So that sporting event, hands down, where it gets hard is wrestling. If I'm going to go back, and I'm going to go back in time, and I can go back to any time, I'm going to go back in time. There's two options, and I can't choose between them. I'm either going to go back and see the payoff match of this big lead up on the Dusty Flair Road feud, these hour long Broadways, as they call them, just hour long matches every night that paid off in this big hour long match at a paper. Like, it would either be that match or the payoff match of the Flair Steamboat feud. It will be Flair one way or the other. But I think those two matches are two of the best matches I've ever seen Rick have. And to experience those live, because I've experienced the height of Nitro live. I experienced the height of Austin live. I experienced the debut, like they still weren't, he still wasn't on TV, debut of Undertaker on WWF live. I experienced Ric Flair in Hazard, Kentucky live. I mean, Mark Calloway, the Undertaker in Hazard, Kentucky live. I've experienced a lot of things wrestling-wise, not as much as I like to, but it would definitely be one of those matches, hands down. And you know, I just don't know which one. Now, there's a thousand other things wrestling-wise I'd like to go back and revisit. You know, I don't. TV was a hard one. I thought about doing TV. I just don't watch it on TV. Like, obviously, the 80s would be the decade I'd want to go back to because the TV I did watch came out in the 80s or was still on in the 80s. I like Soap. If you've not seen Soap, it's an excellent TV show. I liked Alf. I liked the A-Team. I like Saturday morning cartoons. And if I was going to go back to Saturday morning cartoons, it would probably be 93 to 95-ish because you still got a lot of those 80s cartoons. Still got a lot of the Scooby-Doos and the Hanna-Barbera's and the older than 80s cartoons. Plus, you got new X-Men and all that. So, that one's pretty easy. But TV itself, like, in the 90s, like, as far as watching every week outside of wrestling, it'd probably be either, you'd either have to give me 80s. Actually, no, I'll take it. You give me mid-90s to late-90s TV all day long. Because I'll tell you why. I get the repeat shows from the 80s that come on. And I get USA Network, which is my favorite network. I get Silk Stockings. I get Duckman. I get USA Up All Night. I get Monday Night Raw. I get Nitro. I get X-Files, my favorite TV show of all time. So, yeah. I mean, that one's pretty clear-cut. Close. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm a complete and total sellout. All of the hate email people on Talk Junkie would love this. I'm a complete total sellout. I wear what you would call tighter. Some people may call skinny. I don't call them that because I have a belly, so therefore they can't be real skinny jeans, but they are very tight at the bottom. I don't like that. It's not what I want. it's what they make. And you don't have a whole lot of choice. So if I could go back, I'm going straight back, late 90s, huge, massive, mammoth, JNCO 50-inch jeans, ball chain, my haircut with the checkerboard spike blonde hair, you know, lip pierced, which I had that, yeah, I had that in 2000, I had that in 2000 first, an eyebrow in 2000, but ball chain necklace, wallets, I'm going back all day, air walks, gimme, all day long, that's my time, I don't even have to think about it. I really want to thank everybody for, for listening, and Ball and Cox, if you listen to the end of this episode, you get a little insight, because I'm sitting here currently recording a voice message to Ball and Cox as I'm recording the end of a Retro Cult podcast. Ballin has slept on the trail all day. He was kicked in the groin by a horse and just woke up, and he's probably not going to go back to sleep anytime soon. And I think he's got to artificially impregnate cattle first thing in the morning, and then process the other cattle into beef jerky. So, hello, Ballin Cox. I'm sending him a voice message that he's getting right now. I'm getting ready to end it while I'm doing the end of a Retro Cult. So, hello, Ballin Cox. So if we could go back and do it all over, and we can't go back, I know. I want to go back and do it all over, but I can't go back, I know. But if I could, that's most of what I'd do. I'd go back, and I thought about this, and then we'll end it on this. The three things that I had five, I'll do five. The five things, places, things I want to do the most. I want to go back to the skating rink. I want to go back to Pizza Hut when Pizza Hut was good. I want to go back to the public swimming pool in Hyman, Kentucky. I want to go back to my high school for a day. And I want to go back to Louisville, Kentucky, 1998-99, and watch MSD perform at Tech World in Louisville, Kentucky. That's the five things I want to go back and do the most that aren't people. No, I mean, I've been married 20 years, you know. I'd like to have met my wife a little bit earlier and seen if she was any more fun before we... That's all I shouldn't say. That. I shouldn't. I do want to say, though, you know, you people, you brought the numbers up, and you got this show to a point that it surpassed and beat Talk Junkie. And for that, I really owe you, and I really love you. And I want everything to be great, and I'm going to end both shows this way every time because it's my favorite thing to say. I'm going to tell you right now, to not suck, to not die, and be good to people.
When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
It's in the hole!